This is Robert Picardo from Star Trek Voyager and Stargate Atlantis, and you are listening to the War Pod.
Nothing is true. Everything is permitted. America. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
And I am Altair Ibn La'ahad from Assassin's Creed Revelation, Cass Anvar.
That's right. We're here with Cass Anvar here at Space City Comic Con, which is the first time that I've said it all correctly. I keep wanting to say San Jacinto Comic Con. And actually, he just schooled us on exactly how to say Altair.
Yes, Altair.
What was your experience like on the game?
Working on Assassin's Creed was awesome. I'm a huge gamer and a geek myself, and being able to work on probably one of the best video game franchises in the video game world was a huge thrill. Specifically, the character of Altair. Don't get me wrong, Ezio's a badass. I love him. But there's something about Altair. When we were in the studio taping, the director, Darby McDevitt, said, look, Ezio's a badass, but Altair's the legend.
Sure.
And Altair's the founding member, the founding father of the franchise. And really, the entire journey, the entire thrust of the whole Desmond storyline and even Ezio's quests in Revelations, it's all based on the passion and the drive that Altair had, because he was so committed to his job, to his mission, to his destiny. I mean, he literally sacrificed everything. He lost everyone that he loved, and it ultimately lost himself to preserving the integrity of the creed and protecting all the people that he had been fighting for from the power of all these supernatural forces that were threatening to destroy everyone and be taken up by evil and nefarious people. So he really was a man on a mission, and I really admire that about him. And he was so focused and so skilled and so talented, and if you look at the journey of Altair, he started off as a dick.
Right.
Because he was an arrogant...
Can we say that on the podcast?
Yeah, we can. Okay.
Well, I say Dick, D-Y-C-K.
There we go.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Dayek.
Yeah.
And he was like an arrogant, overconfident, brash, young assassin that felt no rules applied to him. And if you guys have played the game and read the stories, he paid a great price for that arrogance.
He somehow sucked the knowledge of being assassin out of his head at the beginning.
Yeah, well, he just thought it was above him.
Yeah.
Or beneath him, and he was above it. And so he had to learn the hard way about humility and about discipline and about why the tenets of the creed were all there. That's, I think, what made him the Grand Master and the greatest assassin that he was.
Now, one thing I'd seen here that you're going to be in the upcoming Expanse, The Expanse.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? I don't know much about it. I was actually really curious.
Absolutely. The Expanse is actually an incredibly popular novel series, much like Game of Thrones was before it became a TV series. It's written by James S.A. Corey. There are a bunch of really amazing popular novels. They're New York Times bestselling novels.
Sure.
We've got hundreds of thousands of followers and fans already before it became a TV series. The show is basically about Earth 300 years in the future. It has colonized our solar system. We've got a colony on the moon, colony on Mars, about 25 million people.
Pluto?
And we have colonized all the way out to the asteroid belt between Jupiter and Saturn.
I see how it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Hashtag yes all planets.
Because it kind of like the way the pioneers in the United States, we pushed our technology to the max. And once you start, you have to understand, there is no magic in this universe. There is no faster than light travel. There is no artificial gravity. In our universe, it takes months and weeks to get even the shortest distance.
Sure.
So getting out to the asteroid belts, and water and air are more precious than gold.
Sure.
It's a commodity. So the reason we go out to the asteroid belts is because there's tons of ice and minerals and things like that can be mined and used as resources. And now there's an entire civilization of humans that have adapted over hundreds of years, and they become belters. People born in the asteroid belts, never experiencing a sunrise or a sunset or real gravity or the air blowing in their face or even fresh air.
Right.
So we have belters, we have Martians who are dedicated to terraforming the planet Mars, and they're focused, and they have very high technology in a lower gravity. And then you have Earthers who have unified as a race, and they're now governed by the United Nations.
Sure.
And they've eliminated disease and poverty for the most part. But now, as all colonies tend to do in the human species,
yep.
they start to become agitated and unrestful and resentful of the father or mother country, which is Earth.
Right.
So we have Mars, the Belters, all starting to feel like they're on edge, tension.
Yeah.
And the slightest little spark is going to ignite a solar-wide war.
Wow.
And that's where we start the series of Expanse.
I am absolutely hooked, knowing that there's no super high tech, basically using where
it's,
we are,
it's
where
we
are
right now. Where we would really be in a couple hundred years. And
it's talking years off.
Yes, very much so.
This is
my nemesis, Amber Goldfarb.
He means his sister.
Who plays Aveline de Grand Pre, the female assassin, the
yes.
first female assassin in the Assassin's Creed franchise. And she is always coming up behind me and stabbing me in the back.
And I just realized you were interviewing him, and I crashed that again.
No, now, can I make a dirty joke about stabbing in the back now?
You most certainly can.
No, thank you.
No, you're good. You're good to crush
welcome.
My head.
You're very much good. Welcome, of course.
Sorry,
and she,
I didn't realize what was happening.
And you're hooked on this show before you even know who's involved. We've got Thomas Jane playing one of our leads, the Punisher slash Hong.
Uh-huh.
We've got Shore Agdash Shlu playing our female lead, who's the Oscar-nominated, Emmy Award-winning actress from House of Sand and Fog in 24
yeah.
and House of Saddam. You've got Stephen Strait from Magic City and a whole bunch of other things. You've got Wes Chatham from Hunger Games. Myself,
yeah.
Dominic Tipper from, I think, a vampire show. I can't remember which one it is.
The Vampire Diaries?
I think it is, yeah. You've got the producer from Breaking Bad. You've got the director from Breaking Bad.
Nice.
You've got the writers from Iron Man 1 and Children of Men doing our pilots.
No, it's the director's...
Yeah, we got the director of Breaking
That's
Bad.
That's awesome.
Terry McDonough.
Yeah.
And Better Call Saul as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you've got...
So you're officially the reason that I'm going to fail next semester.
This is exactly what I'm saying. You will not be getting any sleep, and you won't be doing any homework.
Yeah.
And we've got guest stars. The guest stars are amazing. The supporting cast. You've got, like, Jared Harris, who is the Moriarty in the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes,
mm-hmm.
playing a major role. Jonathan Banks, who plays Mike in Breaking Bad, the bald guy. He's one of our guest stars. Like, our supporting cast is spectacular. And then
awesome.
The writing is phenomenal. And we've got the creators in on the team. It's just a flawless show. And this is the biggest budget, largest show sci-fi has ever done in the history of the universe.
It's going to be on sci-fi.
It's going to be on sci-fi.
Okay, very cool.
They're calling it in the press. We premiered the pilot at San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
They're calling it Game of Thrones in Space. They're calling it the next Battlestar Galactica. So... anyone who watches The Expanse in December, I think you should be prepared to have your mind blown.
Yeah.
Maybe wear a
Definitely.
Cap.
Yes.
Yeah. Strap it down.
Keep those brains in.
Now,
Absolutely.
My question is, with every installment of going back to Assassin's Creed,
yes.
We get further and further along chronologically. Could we eventually see assassins in The Expanse?
You know what? And I say this with all sincerity. I wouldn't be surprised.
Cool.
All right.
You heard it from my lips first.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Guys. I'm here
Appreciate
one more
it.
Day, so if you guys hear this on Saturday, come on Sunday. I'm signing
Absolutely.
Autographs all day.
Sweet. Yes.
All right, thanks. Yeah. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Safety and peace, guys.
Yeah.
We're back, America. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
Tim Russ.
And we are down here at I always get it wrong, Space City Comic-Con. I want to say San Jacinto Comic-Con every single time. Talking with Tim Russ, of course, of Star Trek Voyager fame, playing second in command. No, Janeway's number one. Huh?
You were mentioning this earlier, this scene, so I was pointing it out to you. That's all.
Commander Tuvok, thank you for letting me finish. How's it going?
Good, very well, very well. Thank you.
So, what have you been doing? What have you been keeping yourself busy with here at the con?
Here at the con, it's mostly just sitting down and signing autographs and shaking hands and also taking pictures with the fans and doing a panel every now and then.
Yeah, you did the big Voyager panel.
Yes.
How did that go?
Went very well. It was good to sit with my castmates every once in a while. Most of the panels I do by myself, but today we had at least five or six of us up there, and it was pretty crazy.
I didn't get a chance to go to the panel. Were you taking questions from the audience?
Oh, yeah. We took about maybe 10 questions from the audience.
What was the most interesting thing that came up?
The most interesting thing was, I think a lady was asking what she asked a question about that was not directly related to Voyager. It was more like, if we could play another character's role in the show, which character would that be?
Ooh.
Something interesting. Yeah.
So, did you get to field that one?
Yeah, well, actually, two of us fielded that one. We didn't all answer all the questions, so a couple of us got a hold of that one. Yeah.
So, who's yours? That's my question.
I've always liked the Doctor's character. I thought it was the most interesting. Being a hologram, but he had an attitude that was just, kind of witty and dry and sarcastic, and I always enjoyed that. Yeah, the Doctors. This was fun.
Speaking of characters, there was one thing I was wondering about. Oh, I don't want to get on your stuff here. There was one thing I was wondering about. As far as developing the Tuvok character was concerned, I know later on they started talking about his past and how he was a very defiant Vulcan, and he was very interested in emotion as a young man.
Right.
And is that something that you knew about the character early on, or was that later development?
Oh, no, that was later development. We really didn't have a template for him, you know, at the very beginning, as it would have been the same for all the characters. We had to sort of work through those concepts. The Doctor's character evolved over time. It did start off like that.
Sure.
It came out as a combination of things put in by Bob Picardo and also by the writers. Myself, same thing. We would come up with certain elements of this character based on a story and how he would act or react or do this and that, and that defines him over time.
Very cool. So what's been up lately?
Lately, just working in front of and behind camera whenever I get a chance to.
Sure.
It's we have a pilot presentation, Star Trek Renegades, which I directed. Also, we have I'm in as an actor, Fifth Passenger, which is another science fiction movie, which should be out later in the year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, this is something I hadn't learned until today, that you were actually on the set of Spaceballs.
Spaceballs it was, yes.
Yeah. Maybe the most quoted part of that entire movie was actually delivered by you. Would you be willing to deliver it again?
Oh, my God. Yes, it's... We ain't found shit.
Awesome.
So how long were you on set? Did you get to...
Not very long. It was only a day's worth of work to do that.
Yeah.
Just real quick and bit, you know. It was hot as hell out there, but... But by the same token, it was very nice to work with him. He was a very gracious and generous and an easy director to work with. It was wonderful.
Yeah, where were you on location?
Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma, Arizona. And was the principal amount of the footage done in L.A.?
Some of it, some of it was done in L.A., some of it was done in Arizona, and they had two other locations I think they used as well. They were all over the place, yeah.
It's one of those movies, you don't think about it being like a big production like that.
Oh, yeah. It's actually pretty hefty because you had all the sets, you know. You had all the gadgets, all the sets, all the costumes. It actually was, you know, it's kind of pricey, but they've since done gangbusters on it, you know, so
right. Yeah.
They'll be more than happy to put money into it again.
Sure. I believe I do have the lunchbox and the flamethrower.
Like I said, yeah. All the money. It'll come right back. Guarantee it.
So, any dream projects on the horizon that you want to get to but haven't quite got to yet?
Yeah, I'm working on a feature film for directing that is being produced by Prospect House called The Knights of Mary Fagan. I'm looking forward to getting a chance to direct that as soon as we get the money in place to do it. And
okay.
That's my next big project that I would be working on.
Hi, what's that all about?
Knights of Mary Fagan is an autobiographical piece based in 1916 in the United States in the southeast, Georgia. And it's a true story about Leo Frank.
Okay.
He was a business owner, owned a pencil factory, and he was wrongfully accused of murder. And it was about the trial and everything took place and how it came about. So it's a true story.
Well, that sounds very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for spending some time with us. It was a pleasure meeting
you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you around the con.
All right. Bye-bye.
Space, the final frontier, America. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Jay Free.
I'm Ethan Phillips.
And we're here at San Jacinto Comic Paloozicon, Space City Comic Con, apparently. And here we're talking with Ethan Phillips, a.k.a. Neelix, from Star Trek Voyager. How's it going?
It's very, very, very fine. Everything. Thank you, sir.
I have
nothing to complain about.
So, how's your experience been so far? I know we're like 4 hours into the con, apparently.
Well, I'm having a difficult time with the heat in Houston.
Yes.
I took a cab over here. It was so hot I was able to use the seatbelt as a branding iron. I'm not kidding. The cab driver asked, he actually had an oscillating turban because he was so hot. On the way over, I saw this dog chasing a cat, and they were walking. I'm not kidding. There was a we went in downtown Austin. There was a funeral procession.
Oh.
And they pulled up to a Dairy Queen. It was so hot. Can you believe that?
Oh, no. Well, that's a tradition around here.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Oh, yes. We're very big into that.
Ethan, where are you from?
I'm from New York and Maine.
Okay.
That's why this is very difficult.
Okay.
Yeah.
People are getting breast jobs here just for the shade. I mean, my God.
That would be for the dogs, actually.
Well, there you go.
Popular among the walkers.
The walkers.
Yeah. Did you hear that we're actually getting people, there's like social justice warriors, and rightfully so, getting people to stop walking their dogs at certain times of day because they're burning their paws.
Oh, yeah, right. I had two dogs. God love them. They're gone now. But in Los Angeles, you had to walk them in the morning in the summer. You couldn't walk them. It's not fair to them.
No.
It's not fair to you. Mm-hmm. It's not fair to the sidewalks.
Yeah.
They need to bake without any kind of interruption. Thank you. You're very, very appreciative of this horrible humor.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Thank you, sir.
I'm trying to be stoic. as our illustrious host.
I can't do it.
Now, one of the reasons that I want to talk to you, of course, I'm sure you're bored to death with Star Trek questions.
Star Trek, yes, I am.
Yes. Well, okay, then.
Well, go ahead. Try me.
Okay, so there's an episode. This is going to... I'm about to flex some nerd muscles here. There's an episode, I believe, in 7th season where you are celebrating Zef Cochran Day.
What day?
Zef Cochran Day. And you do a dance, and you're trying to get Tim Russ to...
No memory of this.
No? You don't remember the dance?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't.
So I'm going to assume that because there's no memory of this, that there wasn't a choreographer.
No, they never had a choreographer. I think Neelix did a couple of dances. There was one on a holograph, I think, I did a dance. But I can't remember any... I never... You know, I saw like 4 or 5 episodes of the show in my life.
I see.
And so I don't... And when I did them, they were over. I never watched myself.
Gotcha.
It makes me self-conscious. So I feel uncomfortable. My wife watches me, and she calls me, and she says, "Honey, you're on JAG." And I go, "Okay, let me know how it goes."
My favorite one, just spotting you in other things, was actually in Arrested Development.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, and my girlfriend, Captain Jay, who's actually the big Voyager fan, she's seen the entire series like 3 times.
Right.
Yeah. She didn't believe it.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think that was the first time she saw you without the Neelix makeup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I've done like... I actually counted them up a couple of months ago. I've done 382 television shows.
I thought so. I looked at your bio and I'm like, oh my gosh, it keeps going on forever.
Yeah, but I always play like the serial killer's best friend, you know? I'm never the serial killer.
You don't want to be on this bad side.
No, that's true.
So that's words of wisdom from Ethan Phillips.
Words of wisdom.
We're actually getting a time warning here. So I just wanted to thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah, okay. We'll see you around the con.
Okay, guys, have a great time this weekend,
all
right?
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back, America. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
And I'm in love with you, America. I'm Vic Mignogna, or what's left of him after the weekend here at Space City Comic Con.
Right? By the way, so glad that you said your name, because I learned it by reading it, and I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult than it... It's a lot more easy than it looks.
Mignogna.
It looks pretty scary to look at all the letters that you don't pronounce.
Right.
It's Italian. You know, those crazy Italians.
Mm-hmm.
They throw a lot of extra letters in there, but it's very simple. Mignogna.
Okay, then can you explain to me... Wait, oh. By the way, this doesn't seem like a good con talk, but can you explain to me the Italian Z? Because, like, it makes pizza and other things.
I can't explain it.
He's not an expert at Italian.
I can't explain it any more than I can explain why the GN combination makes the gna sound like lasagna and
That's
bologna
true.
And filet mignon. I don't know. Some Italian guy thousands of years ago said, "Hey, why don't we make it a Z? Sound like this, a pizza." And so everybody went, "Okay."
Because all Italians spoke English originally.
In my imaginary world, they did.
By the way, that's definitely going to be a fanfic now.
Jesus.
So how's the con been treating you?
Well, it's been a good... It's always a good weekend when you get to meet the fans.
Yeah.
Sure. Quite honestly, it's a good weekend when you get to go out and meet people who enjoy your work. And so in that respect, I had a wonderful time. I always have a wonderful time meeting people.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you're getting the most attention from your character, Ed, in Full Metal Alchemist?
Probably. That's probably fair to say. Although I have to tell you, Tamaki from Ouran High School is giving it a run for his money. And Broly from Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z's been around a long time. And, little by little, people are finding out more about our Star Trek series.
Yeah.
So that's nice, too.
Speaking of which, I learned that existed today. That's when I learned.
Dude, what are you even doing here talking to me? You should be home on YouTube or Vimeo watching Star Trek Continues.
I was going to ask how you got attached to that, because you not only are playing Captain Kirk, but you're also credited with.
Well, yeah, there's no getting attached to it. I started it.
Oh, did you?
I started it.
Yeah.
It was my brainchild, and I started the series about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
I brought together a bunch of friends of mine that were also skilled actors and technical artisans, technicians in lighting and camera, makeup, sound, wardrobe. And we started making episodes, and my goal was to make episodes that picked up right where the original series ended, and continued the 5-year mission. And that's what we've done, and people have really been enjoying it, and I'm fulfilling my childhood dream of playing Captain Kirk.
So. Right?
It ain't all bad.
Now, okay, so let me ask you this, because you're inhabiting a gray area between the series and the movies.
That's exactly what we are having.
So, how is that influencing?
I would dare say it's darker than gray. It's darker than a gray area.
Oh, sure.
Would you say it's a black cluster?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what we want to do. We feel like the original series never got a proper ending. Mm-hmm. They're going along, and then the third year, suddenly they're canceled.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, 10 years later, they pick up with the motion picture. And Kirk is an admiral who's given up, the ship for a desk job. And Spock is back on Vulcan pursuing the Kulinar,
right,
the purging of all remaining emotion. And Dr. McCoy has left the service entirely and grew a beard and went off someplace to drink mint juleps. So, what the hell happened?
And that's the question.
Between the series ending and where they were when the motion picture found them. So, the goal of my series, the long-term goal, is to take the characters and the story and leave them at the climax of our series with a proper ending that will set them up for the movie.
Because of your influence and talent, this is going to be the biggest phenomenon ever, and you are going to get a network series out of this.
That's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
But I'm not worried. No, I know it won't happen. But
no.
But that's not why I'm doing it.
Okay, cool.
So, no, there are people out there that make these things because they want to try to make money.
Yeah.
And they want to try to, line their pockets at the fans' expense.
Sure.
I'm not one of those people. I just love this series. I love the things that it inspired me to do when I was a little boy. And I want to give back to the Star Trek community. So I hold out no hope that there will be any kind of a deal with CBS or anything like that.
If it came to that, what would you say?
Oh, I would absolutely say yes. It would be an honor to be a part of the Star Trek universe. But we're doing what we're doing because we love the show and we want to see it continue.
Well, I'm very excited to get into that.
You need to hurry up and go home and watch it.
I really do.
Is that the best place? How do people find it?
www.startrekcontinues.com.
Excellent.
It's that easy. You go there and you click on episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 4 episodes online right now, full length. 4 full-length episodes, and the 5th one is going to be released in a little over a month. And 6 and 7 will be shooting in the fall.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey. Well, thank you so much for
my
talking
pleasure,
to us.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure.
It was great meeting you.
Great meeting you guys. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you around the con.
Thank you.
Here is our continuing mission, America. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
And I'm Garrett Wong.
That's right. Today we are speaking with Garrett Wong of Star Trek Voyager fame, possibly better known as Ensign Harry Kim. How's it going?
It's going very well, thank you.
Aside from the con, why did you decide to come down to Houston for this con specifically?
Because it's the Voyager reunion, so that's the reason why I'm here.
Really? Okay. Has the Voyager reunion, is it like a touring reunion, or is it?
No, it's this city, and there's one in Vegas a little later in August, and that's it. There's nowhere else, yeah.
I did not know that. That's extremely cool. Mm. So how long has it been since the last reunion?
We haven't had a reunion before this.
So this one.
Is, yeah, the first one. Wow. It's 20 years since the airing of Voyager is what it is. So, yeah.
So, who's the person who you haven't seen in the longest amount of time from the crew?
You know what? I've seen all these guys pretty much on a fairly regular basis. At other conventions and sometimes also in just in social circles, too.
Sure. That, as a fan, that makes me happy.
Good.
So, what have you been up to lately as far as projects are concerned, stuff like that?
Voiceover. I took a break from Hollywood for the last 10 years, so voiceover mostly. Yeah. Like Star Trek Online, I did that.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have played that or not.
We're familiar with it, yeah.
Okay. I did a voiceover for American Dad, where I did all the voices of all the main characters speaking Mandarin Chinese. So that was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you were bilingual.
Yeah, I speak Mandarin Chinese. I also speak some Russian, some German, a little bit of Spanish. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what is Mandarin for warlock or male witch?
Oh, God. Now you're giving me the college words.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can give you that one. Oh, my God.
Any Latin, if we could.
Yeah. Invicto Latin. No.
What is it? Cortana, Fortigula.
Oh, really? I like that.
I think that's
is that a real thing?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
You're at a convention, John.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
It's all made up.
So, what are your plans for the con as far as like what you're here to do for fun?
Well, for fun?
Yeah.
It's pretty much work. Just signing autographs, and then we have a big panel at 4 p.m. that we're doing, a Q&A. And then after that, we have a big group photo at 6:30.
Very cool.
And then I'm out of here. I'm flying tomorrow morning to Vulcan, to Calgary, and then up to Vulcan, Alberta, which is the Star Trek capital of Canada, because I'm doing some interviews with four actors over there at a convention up in Vulcan. So I'm a busy, busy boy this weekend.
Wow.
Wait, yeah. In the language Vulcan or the city Vulcan?
No, the city of Vulcan.
Okay.
I'm conducting the entire interview in Vulcan language.
Yeah.
And I'm visiting my girlfriend who lives in Calgary. So
very cool.
One thing that it was interesting because I don't get Star Trek, although I am a very big fan. But it was interesting because we saw you earlier and you passed by and you kind of almost accidentally bumped into Captain Jay and you were like, "Hello there."
Uh-oh.
And like it's interesting that we're so familiar with your face.
Yeah.
Because you know, of course, Ensign Kim said hi.
Right.
We see him every day.
There you go. I know it's a little weird, isn't it? It's like
there he is.
Yeah.
So, when's the next time you think you're going to be back in Houston?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Next year? Maybe,
next year?
Yeah. Yeah, they've already asked. I think they asked me. They want me to come back to this show again. So, we'll see.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah.
Johnny is actually like the guy for tourist attractions. What would you suggest that?
Oh, I'm the guy for tourist. I'm the
you know what to do. He's leaving so soon. Maybe next time we'll have some spare time. What do you think?
Oh, next time. Well, downtown Houston's always a fun place to go for drinks and stuff like that.
Right.
Of course, NASA. I don't know if you've made it down to NASA or anything like that.
No.
I know a lot of people from the con.
Yeah, I'll check that out at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be good to do.
Apparently, they have the entire ISS underwater.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
You're not allowed to go into it.
No?
No.
You can't swim underneath there?
Yeah!
My pay grade doesn't allow me to disqualify me for that.
Actually, was there anything like with a writer's meeting or anything like that where they explained why Harry wasn't promoted in the 7 years?
No, I called them and I asked them, I'm like, excuse me, why isn't Ensign Kim promoted? And their response was, well, somebody's got to be the Ensign. That was it. That is not good. So I knock on Kate Mulgrew's trailer, you know, Captain Janeway's trailer. I go, Kate, why haven't I been promoted? And she goes, I know. She's trying to, like, you know, make, as if the actress playing the captain could actually promote me, right? So, whatever.
You do realize now that's going to be a fan comic.
No,
now that you put that online, definitely.
Oh, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Harry Kim's Big Adventure.
It is. Yeah, we like that.
Oh, thank you so much for talking.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, had a great day.
Thank you. All right, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah.
If I could get rid of